Yeah, the Juice and Louis reporting for duty. Can't wait to bring 2 hours of just radio excellence this afternoon. I'm going to get to the big man straight away. I've got a feeling today we're going to get something off our chest early on. I've just written down three things in the last 2 minutes that I need to clear the air with
too. Yeah, good.
Welcome, big man, to the show.
G'day, Louis. G'day, Adelaide. Great to be here on a Thursday. Both nostrils are itchy, and that means we've had some rain overnight and some good rain today.
Good garden.
Obviously, 21 degrees. I'm a bit more up than our newsreader was there, Lulu.
Well, I just wrote that down. Note to self, to anybody who works on this great show.
Yeah.
Can we get a message to our newsreader? If you're any more down, I'm going to sleep.
I'm going home.
Honestly, get up.
Yeah.
This show is about getting up.
Exactly.
We've had a hard day's work, everybody. Yeah. Let's get ourselves up. I don't care if you've got a timeout to the second.
Don't give a stuff.
Get some energy into that voice. Jeepers. Get going. Take
our family demand.
You. Get amongst you. Oh. I mean, we sack blokes are putting on flat songs to let our show off.
Talking about songs, can I...
Don't even worry about that just yet. Can I have another crack? Where the hell's my grab sheet?
Yeah. Timmy, play your audio.
Timmy goes to me, he goes, you got a grab sheet? And then he grabs the first break. I said, I don't know, Tim, because I've not received one.
Nah, we've got, two producers out there just bloody... Oh, here we go.
Honestly,
here we go, Lou.
Like a couple of cockies on a bench. They are out there. Fair dinkum, just sitting around. They're going, the work's all done. This is going to be great. The boys will produce the magic out of thin air.
Look at them ducking under their desk out there.
And so they should be.
All right.
They'll end up with that newsreader in a minute. Big show. Big show today. All right.
What have we done?
Hamish Hartlett's coming on.
Right.
And I'll clip you in a minute too if you don't shut up. What have we done? We flipped it. We've got a real treat for the family today. Normally on a Thursday at 5:10, we lock in Big Brian Taylor, Bristle, BT.
Where was I for that meeting?
All right, you weren't. I made it on the run. All right. I thought as a treat for the 4 o'clock, because you don't get us at 5.
I like this.
I'm going to play Bristle out of the top. I'm going to tell him it's a promotion.
Don't.
All right. But I want to share the love. It's time.
It's good.
You just can't get a window of the show.
No.
You've got to get the full experience. Charles, we're in surround sound. We're in the business of being stereo-like.
Bristle coming up shortly.
Speaking of bristling, our two producers are out there still bristling a little bit from a cook. We've got the Bristle, we've got Hamish Hartlett, got a great bit of Tommy Gleeson comedy with Chris Judd. Don't miss that after 5:30. Right. And we're going to ask the question, Adelaide too offensive? According to Terry Wallace. How many flags did he catch?
Not many.
No. It says Adelaide fears are too offensive to win the flag this year. We'll get to that.
I'll look forward to that.
I do have a little new segment that I want to start at the show each day, because everybody who listens to this show knows this for a fact. A clear mind is a great mind in your case. Mm-hmm. Active listening, not greatest skill.
Mm-hmm.
Dumping out stories off topic. Happens a lot.
Yeah, now
so
and then.
So I'm going
to
give you a mini segment at the start just to clear that mind and get whatever's just rattling around in your brain out, so we can focus on BT and the rest of the show. The segment is called this.
Get it off your chest.
Yesterday's was a beauty. It was a nice little drive-by of our boss who you said had bad breath.
Yeah, he did.
He couldn't defend himself because he's on holiday. What do you got today?
Well, I was in the car and look, I love what we've done with our music.
Careful.
We've changed our music. It's sounding great.
I
applaud everyone that's involved.
To our music director, Vinny, I'm loving it.
Yep. A tweet from one of our family, Bomber Hulk. Mm-hmm. Ed Sheeran is not rock.
Sheeran.
Ed Sheeran is not. Now, I'm starting to warm to the young man.
Does Maz like him?
Loves him.
All right. Well, there's your answer right there.
But it's going to take a bit of time, but I love it. Look, don't get me wrong, Lou, but, you know, the Hulk's got a point.
In his mind, he might have a point.
Right. I'm getting better with old Ed Wood. He's a terrific young man.
Mm.
But, I just thought I'd get that off my chest.
Is it because he's got red hair?
No, not at all. I don't care what colour hair he's got.
All right. Cool.
All right. I just thought I'd get that off my chest. Have you heard much
of his stuff?
Yes, I have. Maz has been playing it in the car.
Yeah, and so what seems to be...
I'm starting to like what I'm hearing.
Can I get this off my chest?
Well, hang on. I thought it was just my segment.
No, it is your seg.
Yeah. Well,
just get this off my chest.
Oh, Louis' chest.
Maybe for once you'll be called into the boss's office and it won't be a little meet and greet. I reckon you can lock yourself in right now.
For a clip? For a chat.
It would be more than a clip.
I love our music. I actually sit there with little Vinny.
This is what I love.
He's got to toughen up anyway.
And the family who listen to the show know this. The moment the voice goes high, we know we've got him. You're acting like a little schoolgirl over there. You're in some strife, Ace. I tell you what. You're off to the headmaster's office. I tell you what. And you'll get wrapped. Fitzy from Melbourne's coming to get you. Yeah, that's it.
I love it, Sharon.
That's better. All right, so do I. And the music is awesome. All right, up next, the one and only in a brand new time slot.
Yeah.
Big Bad Bristle, Brian Taylor. It's the Rush Hour with Louis and maybe Jars from this point. I'm not real sure. 104.7 Triple M.
Yeah. By the way, Chris.
Gracious me. They've gone berserk. Bloody hell. Did you see that?
Oh, boy. Wowee.
Yeah, the Bristling one. Very excited, too. He's been bumped up the batting order just to kick off the show. Oh, Bristol, no. Welcome to the Rush Hour. No pressure, big man.
Prime time.
Good morning, gents. Or afternoon.
Where were you last week?
I heard you went missing in action last week, Bristol. I was away on Thursday taking the extended leave period.
Well, listen, you idiots. I don't know whether you've ever heard of a guy by the name of Jesus.
Yeah,
JC.
He was born on Easter, and everyone in the nation, in the world, has a day off because Jesus was born.
Correct.
Because I have to work on the day that Jesus was born, yeah. I thought I'd get my holidays in early, and I went to the country in an uncontactable valley camping.
Yep.
And to be honest with you, I completely forgot about it.
Now, Bruce, I don't like to nitpick because I love you dearly, but Christmas is the birthday of the great Jesus Christ.
Is it?
Easter
was his death.
No, it was his death. And then the resurrection on the Sunday,
correct,
my friend. All right. So just a quick little lesson on the fly.
You got a bit lost.
All right. Well, he died on this day. Well, I went to celebrate his death.
Because you knew he was coming back on the Sunday, of course.
Yeah.
Anyway, look, it's fair to say I never went to church a lot.
No, that's a good call.
But it's good to have you back.
MRP, we'll go to that. Were you happy with how they ruled during the week on Josh Gibson and the Hodge incident and everything else?
Yeah, I thought it was all pretty well spot on. I thought they got it right in just about every case.
Do you like the Zeeble one?
Didn't mind the Zeeble one. The ball was within 5 metres.
Yep.
He's allowed to shepherd. If the Zeeble one hadn't have got up, then the bump would have been in trouble because the ball was within 5 metres. He didn't make contact with his head. Mm. He split him open. It was just a great bump.
Yeah. Good call.
Do you not agree?
No, I agree.
I agree with the Zeeble, but the Parsons one, why don't we just encourage elbowing to the jaw of any opposition player? Like, if it wasn't...
What did he get? 2 weeks?
Yeah, but he should have got 6 weeks for that.
No, but 2 weeks is an elbow to the head.
Oh, it's all right. Oh.
And if he'd done some injury, he would have got 4.
But so, Bristol, how come, this is the question we had yesterday, why should the act rely on the result?
Yeah. I agree with you on that. I am with you on that.
Bristol, you were flabbergasted last week.
It can't be. It is.
Of course, talking about not the birth of Christ, but about a deliberate out of bounds. Where are we at with this, Bruce? Roosey has called for a little bit of a summit on the laws of the game, just to correct a couple of things before it gets completely out of hand.
Yeah, well, look, the out of bounds rule is not far off getting out of control. It's almost to the point now where any kick that doesn't land with an opponent and it goes out of bounds is out of bounds deliberately, and I'm not sure that's the way the rules should have been interpreted.
But that was the correct decision by the umpire.
No, it wasn't.
Yeah, Bristol, it was.
No.
None of them. I see very few of them have been correct. There was a couple on the weekend.
What about the Shane Kirsten one, Bristol? Shane Kirsten's bolting out of the middle, trying to win a game of footy. You get Fremantle in front. He kicks it 70 metres and it bounces to the right of the point post and he gets pinged.
That one, and the James Kelly one you're talking about. So here he is. He's 3 metres outside the southern stand point post. Mm. He kicks it around the corner with a banana and he's got pressure coming at him.
Mm.
He actually bends the ball so it should bend back towards the middle of the ground like you would when you're kicking a goal from the boundary.
Yep.
It lands 35 metres inside the field of play on a wet day. It dribbles to the boundary line, is escorted over the boundary line by the opposition team who could have grabbed it. Mm. He should have been penalised.
But he didn't. He didn't try and keep the ball in play.
Yeah, that's right. And I think it's out of control this now. Yeah. You may as well just say the last person to touch it, the other side gets to kick
it. I like
that
rule.
Yeah.
I don't mind that, Bristol.
Bristol, hey, we're going to take a song. We'll get back to a few other big topics as well. And I need to get your thoughts on what's on Bristol's radar, mate. I need one footy related and one sort of life-related. Mm. It can be good, bad, or otherwise, all right? Mm. So stick around. It's the Rush Hour, Jars and Louie. The great man, Brian Taylor, is with us. A real treat, too, for the 4 o'clock family. The Bristol been bumped up the batting order.
It's prime time.
And he is in good, Nick.
Bristol, Louie and I are going to chat about this a little bit later on in the show, but the Adelaide Crows, Terry Wallace has come out and said the Adelaide Crows are too offensive. Do you have a problem with the way they're playing at the moment, knowing that they're going to be 5-0 this weekend after knocking off the Gold Coast?
No, and I think naturally, as the season goes on, they'll tighten up defensively as well. They won't go for as many risky plays as perhaps what they are doing at the moment. Mm. And I think that, like all teams towards the end of the year, defence starts to tighten a little.
Mm.
They're a little bit more calculated. That'll happen to Adelaide. Not only will Adelaide win this weekend, that will mean that if Richmond win as well, which they should, then we will be playing the two sides undefeated, Richmond and Adelaide, at the Adelaide Oval in what should be a cracking game. And we're going to find out, of those two teams, who's the premiership favourite.
Yeah, that is outstanding. That is going to be a cracking game of footy. The under-18 competition, you're a big fan of TAC Cup, and we've seen it.
Yep.
And the young man named Paddy McCartan found himself back in the seconds. And Roosie made a good comment to us the other day that as a coach, he dislikes mostly the rule system that is being played in under-18s, which means for key forwards, only 3 at a time inside the arcs on starting points, which basically means if you're a big monster like a McCartan, like a Patton, and like a Boyd, Tommy Boyd in past days, you're playing on kids 10 or 12 kilos lighter than you, and it's just a completely foreign game to what you actually will be playing against when you come up to the men.
Yeah, but you're only playing on someone lighter than you. If the coach of the opposition team plays someone lighter on you, if he's got someone the same weight on you. By the way, the TAC Cup, that rule, loose rule, it's not a hard and fast rule, it's a loose rule, designed to keep the players inside 50, is all about not having every player within a kick of the ball. So that rule, I don't know what Roosie's on about, has been brought in for that reason and is doing a good job. It's got nothing to do with Paddy McCartan playing on smaller blokes and that sort of thing. He's off his scone.
No, but the beef is that the game they play for that 2 years is so foreign that they have to retrain and re-educate the kids when they get upstairs to the big time.
Most things they do in kids' football is foreign to what the big time is. They're not as attuned to, complicated players, what they're going to get at the top level. It's not as physical. Everything about the game is different when you get to the elite level. So, you know, it is what it is. It's an under-18 kids' competition. Let them play, and let's not worry about stuffing up that competition like we are the top competition with more rule changes to suit coaches like Roosie who are destroying our game. All right? They are destroying our game. The coaches are destroying our game because they don't care.
Call them in, Chris. Call them in.
I want to see a coach with the balls to play someone from the square and demand that a defender comes back and picks him up.
Yep.
And I believe it can happen.
Oh, I like it.
Bristol's radar.
Right, Briss, what's on the radar? New segment inside your own two breaks on the show. You're that big. First thing, from a footy thing, what's on your radar re-footy-wise, other than coaches trying to put a guy in the square all alone?
Look, what's on my radar? You've given me 30 seconds. Hey, what's on my radar?
Mate, you're a good operator, Briss. I've seen you up close and personal. I've seen it, Briss. I see your work on the fly, the Sunday sermon. I've been a part
Come
of it
on.
All. Give it to me.
Look, can we go to non-football one?
All right.
Yeah, all right. Camping.
No, don't tell him.
Get the Moab.
Yep.
You know what that is, Jazz?
No.
It's the mother of all bombs. Yep, America dropped on over in the mountains.
Yes.
Load it up on one of those aircraft carriers, take it to the Korean Peninsula.
Yeah.
And just have it ready to go.
Right. Put out his misery.
North Korea.
Yeah,
so North Korea.
You've got to do something to make sure no one has haircuts like that again.
Okay, well, that's the non-footballing thing on your radar. Footy, what's on your radar, Briss, to finish us off?
Collingwood's on my radar a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
But Ben Hart, you guys know him better than I do.
Yes.
Yep.
He never speaks out of school, Ben Hart.
No.
Right? Mm. Now, we know that he's a disenfranchised coach there from Collingwood now as an assistant coach.
He got clipped.
We all know that.
Yep.
But I think when someone like him speaks, you sit up and take notice.
Yeah.
And you go, what is the point of him speaking here? What's he trying to achieve? Mm. what he was actually saying was that Nathan Buckley is so stubborn that the assistant coaches
spot on
couldn't have any input or say. Because it sounds like he always got his way. That's to me what he was saying in that whole conversation.
Yeah, very inflexible.
Well said.
Very inflexible.
Like it.
Hey, Bruce, enjoy. Obviously, a little brushing up on just your religious.
Yeah, good to have you back, Bristol.
It's required.
I'm annoyed because you set me up, you muggle.
No,
you set me up on
you
that.
You did, Lou. No. You set him up.
I don't.
No, I will remember this. I tell you what. As I'm driving along there, I'm gripping the steering wheel pretty hard, and I'm shaking it like it's your head.
Brian
good
Taylor,
job, mate.
Thank you, Bristol. Have a great
good
day.
Calling.
Good calling this weekend.
There,
boys. Here is well the done. Champ, BT. Rag and Bone Man on the Rush Hour. Triple M Jars and Louie driving you home.
Guess who just texted me then?
Who?
Mother, Maz.
And?
Just said, great song.
Yeah, very good song.
It's a fantastic song.
She's got good taste.
She's got a good ear for music, Mumsy.
She's with Ed Sheeran. Yeah. For those who missed it, new segment, start of the show. Jars needs to get something off his chest daily at 4:06. So far, it's been questioning the music on Triple M.
No, it hasn't.
And outing our boss, or suggesting our boss has bad breath.
He got a bit of butt breath, old Matty O'Reilly.
Butt breath now?
Oh, no.
Mate, you get the double whammy. You're going to get an audience with the GM about the music.
I'm going running with him too.
And our man in charge is going to call you in about having accusations he's got bad breath.
Anyway.
All right, let's talk about Terry Wallace. Adelaide, which it's a great thing, flavour of the month at the moment after a cracking start to the season. A win against Gold Coast on Saturday afternoon will be the best start ever, a 5-0 start. Terry Wallace talking about the Adelaide Crows start, has some concerns about their style and whether it might stack up in September.
I fear that the Adelaide Crows, who are flying at the moment, are too offensive to win the flag. I don't think that they have a defensive aspect.
Good enough defence?
To their game.
Play on Melbourne Radio there with the great KB. I just need you to play that again, Tim, because my ears, I think, are lying to me. Too offensive, really?
I fear that the Adelaide Crows, who are flying at the moment, are too offensive to win the flag. I don't think that they have a defensive aspect.
Good enough defence?
To their game.
What's your job, Marvels?
Honestly. Yeah. Nice touch, Tim.
Yeah.
There's no way Murph could ever have done that.
What was going on between you and Tim?
No, it's good. Yeah. So the big point is,
he's
1-333-53 family. Get involved. Jump on Twitter. It's gone berserk on Twitter.
We're
doing a poll
at
the moment. I find it ironic that in a game where we're encouraging scoring and everything else, that Plough has to come in and say that they're too offensive. Well, forgive me, Jazz. Concept of the game. Kick more scoring points than the opposition.
That's what I was brought
Adelaide
up
are doing
on.
That. Adelaide have increased their goal output from 16 on average last year to 19.
Right.
And they're conceding one extra. So
from last year.
From 15 up to 16.
Okay.
Which I don't think matters, but as long as you're kicking more. It seems a strange thing that everybody is either wanting to talk them right up or talk them down off the wall. It's a bizarre one.
Because we know come September, you've been there, it becomes more of a defensive style of football.
It becomes a more one-on-one type of contest.
Absolutely. And they train for that kind of stuff. They prepare for that kind of football.
Right now, you're not sitting there going, Don Pike's going, what, we're just going to go flat knacker, full throttle offensively for the rest of the year, and we're going to play that way, all right? Before we shoot down this theory, we might just get to the phones in a minute. 1-333-53 family, give us a call. Get in on this. Want to get your take on this one. Terry Wallace says they're too offensive. I'll say it again. They're too offensive. I tell you what, where is Gary? When I need him, Gary Coleman, is he around?
Is he?
Come on, Timmy. Give me a little bit of what
you're
talking.
Can I just say?
You do accents.
Okay.
What's your job,
Marvel? Jeez, that's very good, Jar.
Thanks, Lou. You're one of my favourites. Just quickly, after round four, Lou, Adelaide Crows are averaging 128 points per game.
It's big.
But they're conceding 87 points per game after round four.
And if you're one of those toss bags that uses these big stats and things, is that the premiership formula?
No, it's not.
No, it's not.
Not in Kingies.
No, not in Kingies' little quadrant.
No, not
in 1-333-53. Give us a buzz. Get your thoughts on this one. Adelaide Crows, too offensive. Who would have thought? It's a rush hour with Jars and Louis. Hamish Hartlett still to come after 5 o'clock. Also the quiz, thanks to Automasters. An easy 1,000 for just 60 seconds of work. Jars, we're taking calls right now.
Yes,
Terry Wallace, former Bulldogs and a Richmond coach, is coming. He fears Adelaide may be too offensive to win the flag. It's a big call early on. at least somebody's taken the negative side of the argument as opposed to blowing wind up their freckles like everybody else. But we're getting the family's thoughts. Twitter's gone berserk. We've got a poll running. Plough's right, says Couch Specimen. Most Vicks would find it offensive if the Crows won the flag. Lockie says, Talia, Hardigan, Lever, Brown, Laird and Smith. Can Wallace name a better back six in the comp? Can't win a prelim for Tez. And Sir Splash thinks Tezza may have indulged in one too many tins over the Easter break. A ridiculous statement.
Now
let's
get
to the phones.
A couple of doubles to go to see Port LA take on Carlton tomorrow night, Lou. And a double to go and see Diesel at the Arca Bar Hotel.
All right, let's get to the family on the phones, mate.
Andrew of Blackwood. G'day, Andy.
Good, fellas. How are we?
Good, mate. What do you think about Plough's comments?
Well, I think it's pretty ridiculous. He's not looking actually up the ground into the borderline and thinking about who we got up there, like Eddie Betts, Riley Knight, Charlie Cameron, then the midfielder Sloan and that who rest up there.
Yep.
They actually turn the ball over before it even gets into the back line.
Yeah.
And that's where we're getting the scores.
Yeah, that's scores on turnover is, you know, you're averaging, it's something like 80-odd points a game. Even close to
that's
90.
Scary.
It's massive.
That's scary.
And that's built off the back of defence, or defence, as we say in this country.
Defence.
Genuine pressure act.
Yeah, oh, I love it, Andrew. Thank you very much. I think a prize is coming your way.
I want double for Diesel for young Andy, the Blackwood, please, Lee.
Yeah, Diesel bringing his Americana tour to the iconic Arca Bar Hotel Saturday, April 29. Tickets from Austix. Who needs Murph, honestly?
Matthew of Kangaroo Island. G'day, Matthew.
Hey, young guys.
Matty, your take on Plough's comments that they're too offensive, the Crows, to win the flag at the moment?
Yeah, I think he's cooked. Yeah. Yeah. I'm a power supporter, and so there's no bias coming this way. But I think everyone's sort of on the same page. All that offense is actually generated straight out of that defense. And I think that's the best part of it. The way that back six is working, it's all flowing out of there bloody brilliantly. So, I mean,
And you can't.
That's where it's all come from.
Oh, I love it, mate. What are you doing there, Fat Santa? Anything exciting?
No.
No, okay. Oh,
good on you, Matty.
Sorry, Matty.
Spot on what you said too, my friend. Dave of Elizabeth. G'day, Dave.
Hey, go, boys. How are we?
Very well, Dave. What are you thinking? Yes.
First, two things. The first one, who cares what Victorians have got to say? And the second thing, let's stay positive. The Crows are playing good footy at the moment, and we don't need no negative stuff coming to our camp.
I'm hearing you can only beat what's out there.
That's exactly right. You know, the Victorians have always got something to whinge about. When we take the cup away from them, they've got something to do, have a cry.
Yeah, exactly.
Can I give four doubles to Dave of Elizabeth for the footy tomorrow night?
Four.
Yeah. He can take some mates or he can pass them on to some mates.
Just ask him if he needs four.
Dave, do you want four doubles to go and see the game tomorrow night, Port Carlton?
Yes, I would love that.
There you go, Dave, all yours.
Yeah, Friday, April 21st, tomorrow night, 7:20. And it's a big thank you to the Port Adelaide Football Club. And if you need to book your tickets now, get at portadelaidefc.com.au/tickets. Murph, I'll say it again. It's not that hard. It's the rush out with Jars and Louis. Triple M. It's a rush out. Oh, I've stuffed it up, Murph. Got me there on the radio school stuff.
Come on, mate.
It's the rush hour with Jars and Louis driving you home. Big second hour to come. Hamish Hartlett coming up.
Yep.
Chris Judd on Hard Chat with Tommy Gleeson. And our recap of the big bad Brian, bristling Brian Taylor, a little after 5:30 as well. Everybody's having a little bit of laugh, and he just gave away four doubles.
Correct.
We had two doubles to give away.
Yeah.
Just some great callers. Boots says, four doubles, that's eight tickets, right? Couldn't spare a double for the actual Port supporter, Jazz.
Boots, I've got a double for you if you want to go.
But, Lou... Sir Splash says, four doubles, question mark. Yeah. Jazz knows that's eight tickets, right?
Yeah, I do, Sir Splash, all right? Even though you're under threat regarding your position, I've got all these tickets left over because I didn't give them away the last couple of days, Lou.
Another mistake.
And tomorrow... Well, we've been so busy. And obviously tomorrow night's the last night.
Yeah,
so and four doubles is fine.
I'm not hanging around to give me out tickets on a Friday
night.
No,
they'll collect them tomorrow.
Yeah, but
Jez is sorting it out. But, mate, I've got heaps of tickets left for tomorrow night's game.
Well done.
So I might as well give them out, Lou.
Oh, yeah. So as long as you knew what you were doing.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because it's normally the rush hour, Jars and Louis. Mass is not our strong point.
Well, not mine. Not mine. But anyway.
All right. Port Adelaide fans, Kenny Hinkley, press conference earlier today. If you've missed it, Paddy Ryder are definite to come back in at the expense of Matty White. No Cruzett, no Dale Thomas. Both saw won't come across and play for Carlton.
That's going to hurt Carlton.
For Friday night. All right. Here's Kenny, though. He reckons he's got a good handle on what the good teams are doing and what they can do well as well.
I think we've played in the last 2 weeks two really strong teams, and you know we've probably got an accurate measure of what we need to do and where we need to go.
It's Very nice. Mm. Feeling very good about himself.
Very measured, isn't he, Kenny?
Three quarters last week. Very good.
Not too bad. Last quarter, that was just shocking. But there were some good signs.
And there is good news. Jack Homps, his key defender.
Next week, we think. We're pretty confident. We're hopeful, very hopeful that he'll be available next week. I spoke to him on Tuesday and he was progressing really well.
That is good news.
That's great news.
Very good news.
And obviously, Paddy Ryder back. Midfield will step up. Hompshie's the key in their back six. So, well, they got Carlton and Brisbane the next 2 weeks.
Yeah. Must win games and get themselves ahead of the ledger and really sort of knuckle down for that big grind into the byes. Robbie Gray's fitness has been questioned from all fronts. A little bit ginger that first game.
I thought he was.
Didn't do a lot against the Sydney Swans. The groin issue, here's Kenny addressing that.
There's nothing wrong with Robbie Gray. Robbie Gray's had sore groins for four and a half years here. They're not new. That's just because, you know, his form's fluctuated. We've played him in slightly different positions. We all want to bring up as an injury. There's no mystery injury with Robbie Gray. Robbie's fine.
Said that all last year with Trev Buck too, didn't he?
That's just the way Robbie runs around, doesn't he?
It's around.
Still a
carrot up the clack.
Class player anyway.
Absolutely.
Robbie.
And last one, the good mood hasn't, even though he's lost the last couple of weeks, he's been in good form, Kenny, with the gags. Continues on here talking about, I reckon, everybody's favourite whipping boy, Jasper Pittard.
Yeah, it is good. We just had a look at his highlights tape in there, and he was a skinny little shit at sometimes.
She's a coach.
And that's what you want. Then the boys feel that. They feel that energy from Kenny, and you just got to be relaxed and enjoy it and play with a smile.
I can hear the Twitter family asking me now to ask Jars the question. Like, yeah, all right. Were you ever a skinny little shit?
Yeah, I was. When I first started for North Adelaide back in 84, 85.
Is that photo we spotted at the Arca Bar that night having a beer?
I think it was.
You were very skinny.
I was skinny.
And the stripes helped.
Yeah. But then,
what happened?
Well, I just evolved and the body started to take shape and
the bones
became
grew.
Ripped and shredded. And
in the next phase?
I was ahead of my time back in 85, 86, 87.
Yeah, you were.
Mm.
What about the period where
it fell apart?
Mm.
Or retired?
No.
No, I was in a good paddock.
Mm.
We've all been in a good paddock.
Yes.
But now I'm back to where I was maybe back in 85, 86, 87.
Isn't it amazing, family, how he just be able to turn a topic back onto himself? Do you want to tell us about medals or anything or performance?
Come on, let's get the quiz.
How many touches you had today?
I don't want to talk about that. We've got quiz and Hamish is out there.
Right, give us a call right now if you want to play the quiz, the Automasters quiz, 1-333-53 Murphy. This is how easy it is. Is your car noisier than we? Is it noisier than us? You better call 1-300 Automasters, a quiz with no name, coming up just after 5.
It's hammer time on Triple M's Rush Hour.
Boom, that's the hammer coming down.
Hammer time.
Please welcome Hamish Hartlett.
Yeah, join you, hammer. Good to see you, man. Look, disappointing end to what was a really good effort for three quarters against GWS, but I reckon if we'd sat you down a month ago and said 2-2 at the start of 2017, as much as you would begrudgingly accept, you'd just say it's not the worst spot we could be in.
Yeah, you're right, Louis. It's while we're never... happy that we lose. We understand that it's going to happen from time to time. And to be right in the game against GWS and even the Crows a couple of weeks ago.
Is that a good frustration?
Yeah.
Like it's frustrating, but a good one?
Yeah, you sort of walk away from the game knowing that you just got to tweak or fix up a couple of areas of the game and you'll get the result you're after type thing. So we know we're not playing horrendous footy and we're not coming off the ground scratching our heads thinking, oh, what's going on? Like we're all over the shop here. We know we're just not far away from really playing some exciting footy for a full four quarters. And once we do that, we'll get some good results.
Benchmark has been your contested footy the first two rounds, dropped off the last two rounds. Mm-hmm. Is that because Powell Pepper's just dropped off a bit? Ollie Wines had a quiet first quarter last weekend. Bradley Ebert. Is that because of that and plus losing Paddy Ryder on the weekend?
Yeah, there's probably a few reasons as to why that's happening. I think against the Crows, we're probably just getting outnumbered at too many contests. So when the ball hits the deck and a Crows player picks it up, for example, that's automatically counted as a contested possession. Yeah. So outnumbering at the contest against the Crows is one area that we didn't go so well in. And then on the weekend, probably a little bit of that ruck situation without Paddy being there probably allowed GWS to get first hands on the ball. I think we lost first possession by minus 13 around stoppage, which puts you on the back foot already. So a couple of those areas, but we'll tidy them up this week.
Big Jacko, no, he played a game of footy against the Big Mummy.
I reckon he did in the first like 10 seconds of the game. They were having a scuffle, having a bit of a wrestle.
What a big boy to lay on.
He done back down, Jacko. He's happy to take on anyone.
Great, Jacko.
No, good effort. So Paddy will come back this week. Friday night footy, fantastic. Here on the big stage again against Carlton, who a little sneaky win the other week. And the Blues aren't playing some bad footy, but an expectation that bring the A game. And I think that's the difference right at the moment. You drop off by 10%, as we've seen with a lot of the teams, you're in big trouble. So bring the A game and get stuck into it.
Yeah, that's right. You can't afford to be any less than 100% for any period of time throughout a game. Otherwise, you will get found out by the opposition, no matter who it is.
So feeling must be good, mate, after a really good summer. And as we said, a couple of good results and then just sort of slipping off. I mean, where are we heading to now? What are the target zones for the next month? Because it's a big month of footy for you guys.
Yeah, to be honest, I know we've obviously got Carlton and Brisbane. Mm. And I'm not sure what the go is after that. Obviously, the China game's coming up soon as well. But
I reckon that's the last of that month.
Yeah, so our focus is clearly on Carlton and getting the right result this week. And, you know, we've identified some key areas that we need to work on. Clearly, contested ball is one of them. We need to dial up the accuracy in terms of our setups and the things we're doing around the ground. And we think once we get a couple of those things right, and obviously finishing our work in front of goal, it probably cost us a little bit on the weekend.
Just getting a good start, though. Like, you know, Chaddy Wingard misses a couple of easy set shots, and Dicko gives away a 50-metre penalty. Yep. Just little things like that. They do hurt, especially when you're away.
Yeah, no doubt. And against a quality side like GWS, they're going to make you pay. So bit of scoreboard pressure early would have been nice, but the guys will bounce back in the forward line this week, I've got no doubt.
How does Kenny address that? Is he a vision man? Is he or a chat to the individuals involved or to that group?
We identify them as a full group, so Kenny will come together with all the coaches and say, all right, these are the areas that we need to get better at and improve. And then you break away into your lines, so forwards, mids and backs, and you just reinforce those areas and just add a little bit more detail as to how you can improve in those particular aspects of the game.
Sounds like a stupid question, but the average punter thinks, oh, you're a professional footballer, you have your footy in the hand majority
the
of the week.
Yeah.
How many kicks would you have, say, at three-quarter to full pace in the main training or the training of the week, so a night?
Oh, at full pace?
You know, or under game-like pressure or under game-like training intensity.
Yeah. 30 or 40 a session, probably.
Yeah.
And then
it's crazy, isn't it, Joe?
Like, you know, you do your back and forward kicks, just to get a bit of touch and feel.
You know,
that
kick where you push back off a mark into a corridor, a bloke's got to run and play. Because it gobsmacks the average person. Think you're a professional, it's your job. Yet because of recovery, it's so high you can't spend all that time out there.
The physical demands just don't allow you to be able to train flat stick every day, you know, for hours and hours on end without. You know, you've got to recover for the next game. You've got to be fresh coming into the next game of footy.
And mentally fresh. Do you do much goal kicking?
Yeah, literally every session.
Every session is goal
training
kicking.
Session. Yeah.
Triple M's Rush Hour, Jars and Louis driving you home. Our studio guest, the one and only Hamish Hartlett, still sticking around. We haven't touched base with this side of your lifestyle for a while, but what is happening? I see the moustache is going good. You're looking comfortable at halfback. I would assume off the field things are comfortable.
You're looking all right. You've got a smile on your face. Have you got any bit of love out there?
You're looking healthy, like life.
We haven't spoken to us about you. What's going on?
You found some reference that
we just need to know how life is off the book because it's
part of the family.
Jars and
good.
I are all I've about work life balance.
I'll tell you what, I've got my house getting renovated underway at Westbourne Park, so I'm probably due to move back in there in 6 to 8 weeks. That's really exciting.
That's the focus.
I've got I've got a potential little business venture that might be getting up the ground over the next month or so.
You want
as well,
us to help out in some capacity?
I'll be giving it plenty of plugs when the time comes.
And then the third thing, we've found a partner.
Passive investment with that?
Yeah, a little post-footy passive investment style.
Have we got someone
honestly, we're not lonely, are we?
Wouldn't mind a bit more company from time to time, boys.
A cuddle or two.
And that's a tough one to balance.
That's right, boys. But you know what?
What's up?
you can't force these things, you know. No. You've just got to let them sort of unfold organically and naturally.
Kiss
and that's
nature. Just let it take its course.
That's right. That's right. It could be it could be walking down the, you know, the street and bump into whoever it might be. You just don't
As
know
Jars often tells me, he said, Louis, the better I played, the better it was.
Mm.
How did you guys meet your partners, by the way?
At a nightclub.
Okay.
Near 5 in the morning.
Louis?
Yeah.
She was working at the hotel I bought up at Ballina, up near Byron Bay.
See, you know, that's what I'm talking about.
I said, that's the one.
That's what it's all about.
You clicked your fingers and pointed and said that was the one.
You know why? She was carrying a VB box of stubbies back to the bar. I don't know whether it was the late afternoon light.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah.
Sun.
You
looked,
knew.
Looked like a hologram. Yeah. And then I said,
a young Moses.
In a full bar, a full pack bar, the rugby league was on, New South Wales. I said, do you mind flipping it over to the golf? And she did. And the bar went berserk.
Oh, how was
I said, just checking the golf.
How was your first night together? Where'd you go? Did you go down to the local chip shop in the town?
The first day I gave her a kiss was about a week later on New Year's Day.
Yeah.
The pub was closed, and I'd been out drinking at other establishments with some of the new staff members.
Okay.
And then, because we've been playing little flirties with the hands and the till. And
nice.
And then I just called around the corner and said, come here. Just laid one on her.
Did you throw it out?
And the rest is history.
Yeah.
That's the dream, boys.
And the best part about that, unlike Charles, didn't dine out on my career. It was post-footy.
Yeah.
New South Wales. Couldn't have been further off the grid, Charles, to quote you. So that was all personality.
Love it.
Oh, hey, before you go, national stage on Friday night.
Yes.
Will you do anything to the hair?
No.
No, because most boys know it's a big one, Friday night.
Yeah, it's massive. There's going to be...
The country's watching me.
There's going to be a few people tuning in. Look. A
couple of those boys wearing those silly ponytails need to go.
We might get a bit
Come on, Brad.
Might get a bit of a grippo or something make it look nice and fresh.
Go on,
and
do just something different.
Hold style look for a full four quarters.
Look a bit 6'3" down back.
Yeah, add another.
Good luck, champ.
I tell Beautiful. You what, they pass a message on to Youngie from us.
Oh no,
yeah.
One more bad one.
Yeah, and it's
snip.
It's
snip.
Gone.
It's gone.
All right.
I wouldn't mind being the man that cuts it off.
Yeah, it's gone.
I think we've given it enough.
Yeah. Start producing, Youngie.
Not quite reaching the heights of last year. I think it's time for the hair to go.
Fair enough. I'll let him know.
Good
to see you, Emma. Have a great night on Friday night. Tomorrow night.
Thank you.
Jars and Louis driving you home. It's the rush hour on Triple M. If you're looking for your BT fix, your fix of Brian, and you didn't catch it today at his normal time of 5:10, he kicked off the show at 4:10.
Mm.
The best of Bristol coming up about 5 to 10 minutes' time. But right now, Jars, Chris Judd, Triple M's very own, appeared with very funny man Tom Gleeson, good friend of the show,
good
always
man.
Comes in when the fringe is on town. It's a little thing called Hard Chat on Charlie Pickering's ABC show, The Weekly.
Yep.
And what it is, it's basically Tommy giving it to whoever is in the guest chair, just going whooshka at him and not only taking the piss, but just taking the mickey right out of him. So here he is with Juddy. Very funny stuff. They kick things off asking about his fallen teammate, Benny Cousins.
Welcome to Hard Chat. I'm joined by AFL legend, Chris Judd. Thanks for joining me.
Tom, good to be here.
Let's chat. Hard! Can you tell Ben Cousins to get his shit together so he can make jokes about him again?
Let's go on to Ben in a minute. He's got a few prior engagements.
It's one way of putting it.
Sure.
He's busy, is he?
He's off the radar, let's put it that way.
Yeah, he's indisposed. He's on pause. You recently went to the 10-year reunion for the West Coast Eagles, the premiership team.
Yep.
With the 2006 grand final, how many grams did you win by?
That's a cheap shot.
No.
That's a real cheap shot.
You're getting the Tommy. Theme. He's the Brilliant. Theme of the show. All right. Then he goes on and brings up the topic of our hybrid game, the International Rules Series between Australia and Ireland.
For my New South Wales friends,
sure.
I want to explain to them International Rules is Aussie rules combined with Gaelic football.
Yeah, it's a hybrid game.
Yeah, so what's it like playing a game that two countries don't give a shit about?
The trip itself is very fun.
So it's worth it just for that?
It's a junket.
But the game, I mean, International Rules, do you agree it's like watching a dog a cat?
Well, I always think I've been watching it.
Yeah. It's ugly and it shouldn't be happening.
Oh, poor old Juddy.
It's good.
Any more?
Yeah, one more.
Oh, no.
And again, Charlie Pickering's The Weekly Show on the ABC. It's Hard Chat if you're searching for it. Asked about Juddy's world-famous man cave that he's got in his big palatial home. This is entertaining as well.
You've got a very well-adorned man cave.
Yes.
It's very well known. I've seen inside it. It looks very good. Is that where you go to escape poor people?
It's my mother-in-law is now living with us and she's next door to the man cave. That's big risk of becoming a Nam Cove, which is a bit of a concern.
Well done.
Brilliant. Yeah, Jody holding his
own. That's fantastic.
Yeah, very good. If you want to catch more of that, Tommy Gleeson, very funny man, does all sorts of stuff. He's done some with Sophie Monk, all sorts of so-called celebrities. Very entertaining, taking the Mickey
Well,
right
we
out
do this
him.
Monday to Friday, don't we, really?
He stole the Oddie, basically. Yeah,
really?
I think so. All right. It's a rush hour with Charles and Louis back to finish it off with BT real soon.